So the question of the moment is, do you believe? I said the question that we're asking ourselves right now, do I believe? Well, do ya?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Right? Do ya?
Yes.
What do I believe? I believe what I see in my heart. I believe I see what Jesus has already accomplished for me. I see what he purchased for me. I see myself with what he provided. I see myself without pain. I see myself walking again. I see me paying my bills. I see my marriage being restored. I see that. I see that because I believe that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? And believing demands action. Demands. We don't just believe. We believe in our move to do.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Come on.
Stand up. Stand up. Are you moved? Are you stirred by your seeing in that which you believe that you have it? You have it. You're not trying to get it. You have it. It's yours. It's your personal possession. Jesus bestowed it upon you. And by believing that you have it and seeing that you have it, you begin to get happy. You start getting happy. You start getting joyful. You stop thinking about it. You're not trying to figure it out. You're just going, whoa, I got it. Hallelujah. So do you believe this morning? Do you believe this morning? Do you believe this morning? Hallelujah. Glory. We enforce joy. Joy is the expression of faith because we see something and we know we have something, right? So we enforce joy. Joy is the expression of faith. Thanksgiving is the expression of faith. When we get into that place where we abandon our feelings, we abandon what we see, we abandon what the doctor has said, we abandon what the bank is saying, we abandon all that which we can see, feel, and touch, and we look to him and say, yes, it's mine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's easy to shout in a church house. Ouch, hallelujah. We need to take that joy at home.
Amen.
Need to have that joy in the car, going to wherever. Right?
Amen.
Need to have that joy at work. With a smile on our face. Right? Amen. That's the expression of what we believe.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Whoo, doggy. Now, I'm glad I came to church this morning. I'm glad that you're here.
Amen.
We're not here because of a man. We're here because of the man that was encased, right? That encased deity. We're here because of who died in our place.
Yes.
We're here because we love Jesus.
That's right.
Right? That's our purpose, to love Jesus. And that love compels us to act like him. Right? We always imitate those that we admire. Right? Those that we respect.
Yes.
And that's why we're here. Because we're allowing ourselves for him to speak to us. Not a man is just that vessel that he speaks through. You are the vessel that God speaks through. Right? And so we're here to hear from him.
Amen.
And so we're going to get something this morning.
Amen.
And it's going to be good.
Amen.
Right? Because of him. And he's good, so he has nothing but what? Good for you and I. Amen? So let's release our faith and let's believe that we'll get what we came for. Now understand, too many times when we're believing, we always want the finality of what we're believing for. Like if I want to go to Nashville, I want to be in Nashville. But how many of you know that I've got to make my way to Nashville? So stop looking for the final designation and look for the next step. Right? Because the steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord. Don't try and get it all done in one day. That's why we live by faith, right? Because we're taking steps. So look for a step this morning. Don't necessarily look for the pot of gold this morning. Look for the step towards the pot of gold. Amen. Like you're following a treasure map, right? And we do that by the witness. Glory. So, Father, we assemble ourselves here this morning because we're your kids. We're your children. We're your followers. We're your disciples. We're your believers. We're your church. And so we believe for utterance this morning. We believe that our ears will not just hear mere words, but we'll hear the voice and the communication of the Holy Spirit to our spirit. And we'll allow you, Holy Spirit, to show us things, reveal and disclose, and to cause us to hear that which we haven't heard before, and steps to do that we hadn't considered before. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got a lot to do this morning, so let's get going. We live in a spiritual kingdom. We've been born into a spiritual kingdom, right? And we're behind enemy lines. Right? In essence, by us being citizens of heaven, we're now living in a foreign land, the earth.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And so we're living behind enemy lines and we have an enemy, right? That has a strategy arrayed against us. And so we have to resist the strategies of darkness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now understand that anytime we start talking about dealing with the world and its ways and that darkness and all of that, understand that we're not doing things in our own strength, that we're not trying to win. Every battle that you and I enter into, we're not trying to win.
That's right.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Glory. When we enter into a battle, we're not trying to win.
That's right.
Come on.
You got it.
Because Jesus already won the battle for us.
Thank you. Come on.
When we talk about wrestling, right? You know, fighting the good fight of faith. We're entered into that which we have already won. We're simply enforcing what Jesus has already purchased. I mean, the police officer that's directing traffic, he's not trying to stop that car. He's not trying to win the battle with that car. He's already won because he's got the badge on his uniform. Right? He's just enforcing that authority that he has. Amen? So understand that. Sometimes we think that we have to do everything. No, he's doing it through us. If I'm sitting in a tank, you don't see me. Right? What do you see? The tank. When the enemy sees you, they don't see you. Right? Because you're now in him.
Yes.
Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So when the enemy sees you and you're standing in that place that Jesus provided for you, they're seeing the tank.
Amen.
And all you're doing is hitting the button. Right? Amen. So this morning, with the help of the Lord, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's really not what you think.
Amen. Good.
Yeah, right? Whew, glory. Spiritual warfare. And there's three levels to it. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got almost half the crowd ready. You ready?
Ready.
All right, there's three levels, right? Let's talk about the first battleground in spiritual warfare. The first level is the battleground of our mind. The battleground of our mind.
Yeah.
How many of you know that we've been programmed by the world? The world tells us how to think. The world tells us how to react. The world tells us what to pursue. The world has conformed us into its own image. Right? So by virtue of the new birth, we are born into a spiritual kingdom which is directly opposed to how our mind was transformed. Right? I mean conformed to. And so we have to go through this battlefield of getting our mind to be thinking and acting in a kingdom that we've been born into. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like years ago, I would go into bathrooms. Right? And I would activate the faucet with the handles, right? I would activate the toilet by that little lever on the side. I would manually pull the towels out of that bracket and that container that was holding the towels. Anybody remember that? Right? And so for the very first time, I went into a bathroom at the airport. And I walk up to the sink and I go, where are the handles? You know, how do I get the soap out of the dispenser? There's no little button to push. How do I get my towels? How do I flush my business? Right? Sometimes these services do get visual. And so, no exaggeration, I had to wait for someone else to come in. And I watched them. And he went like this, and the water started coming out. I'm going, what? And he went like this, and soap came out into his hand. Yeah. And he walked away from the toilet and went, oh, it's interesting how I saw that. Anyway. Hallelujah. And he just waved his hand in front of the machine, and the towels popped out. Well, see, I was in a new kingdom. Right? I had to reprogram my mind to be able to be victorious in the toilet. Which I've heard is a good thing. Okay? And it's the same thing for you and I. We're in a brand new kingdom, and things don't work like they used to. The way that we were trained, what's ingrained in our mind. And so what we have to do is we have to go through that process to reprogram our mind. And that's a battlefield. I said that's a battlefield. Because like when we were in the world, seeing was believing. Right? Seeing is believing. But now I'm in this new kingdom, and believing produces what I'll be seeing. See, I got to reprogram my mind. Learning how not to go by what I see, not to go by how I feel. See, that's a battleground.
Amen.
And we take authority over those things, right? How about in the world? Remember this? Take care of yourself. Love yourself. Make sure you got what you need. Well, we're in a new kingdom now. Amen. Now we prefer others before ourselves. Amen? Amen? And so that's how this works. So the first battleground is the battleground of our mind. We take authority over our mind. We reprogram our mind. We begin to think like God thinks instead of the way we used to think in the world. And that process, as you know, is called the renewing of the mind. Go on over to Romans 12. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the renewing of the mind is the most important thing that you and I will do as a believer. Because what we're doing is that we're beginning to see things like God sees things. We're beginning to believe things that God has given us, even though we can't see them, right? Because we're in this new kingdom and nothing is the same. Everything is almost reversed from the system that we were trained in before. And if we're not careful, we'll revert back to some things in the way we were trained. So this is an area that we maintain, right? You maintain your mind thinking like God thinks. That's why you're here this morning. So you continue to get your mind washed with the Word of God.
Amen.
Just washed. Just bathed. Just put that baby under and get it nice and soaked and cleaned up and thinking like God thinks, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you're over in Romans 12:1, even though I didn't tell you where we were going. Romans 12:1. I'm reading from the King James Version. And it's interesting how Paul says this by the Holy Ghost. He says, I beseech you. That's almost like saying, I beg of you. I plead with you. So he's putting a priority to this verse he's about to speak to us, this thought. He says, I therefore, brethren, so he's talking to us, the church, by God's mercy, right, withholding from us what we didn't deserve, he says that you present your body. Well, who's you? In this verse of Scripture, who's you? I've got to identify that. It's real important for this to work. Who presents our body? It's interesting when we go through the writings of Paul, is he's very straightforward in telling us that there's a difference between our spirit, our mind, and our body. You see, knowing that you and I are eternal spirits will open up the revelation of God's word to us, because the word of God is not speaking necessarily to our outer man or our mind, will, or emotions. For the most part, it's talking to us who we've become in Christ, our spirit man. Hallelujah. That just completely changed my life when I found out that I was a spirit, because I kept running into contradictions in the Word of God, you know, and I didn't understand how that could be possible, because I was judging what the Bible said I was by what I was on the outside, yeah. Right? Because it says that in Christ I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I'm thinking that's a contradiction. I'm a goofball. I just did this. I just did that, right? And I know that's wrong and blah, 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 blah. It can't be, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. But when I found out and got the revelation that I'm an eternal spirit being, that the part of me that he's talking about being righteous is the new man on the inside. And so that just opened up so much to me. I said that just opened up so much to me. It made the Word of God come alive.
Yes.
Right? Because I separated myself. Just like, you know, we were talking about last night. How, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. That you,
yeah.
Right? That you,
yeah.
Through his poverty, would be rich.
Sorry.
Rich isn't what you have. Rich is who you are.
Yes. That's good.
Right? Just like we said yesterday, you are love. You are righteous.
Yes.
You are holy.
Yes.
You are rich.
Hallelujah.
Think of it in this terms. There's no way that God could indwell our spirits if we weren't all these things. God can't dwell in a place that's not holy.
Amen.
He couldn't dwell in you. He couldn't dwell in me if we weren't holy, if he hadn't made us holy.
That's right.
So stop seeking riches.
Yeah.
Ooh, come on.
Stop it. Don't make me sing again. We have to stop that. Because we're already rich.
Woo!
Amen.
Glory, come on.
I am rich.
That's right.
And if I'm looking for it, then I don't see that I already have it.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, come on. Come on.
I like that. I'm going to write that. Hang on. I'm going to write that one down. That's a good one. Good one. But that's how, see, that's just completely opposite of how we were trained in the world. And I gotta get my mind lined up. Right? I've got to get it renewed. So when he says in this scripture that you present your body, he's talking about the inner man. Right? The recreated human spirit begins to make decisions for the flesh. And that's a warfare.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
We bring it under the restraint of our inner man. Treat your body like the next door neighbor's dog who's getting into your trash. That was really good. I'm going to say it again. Treat your flesh like the next door neighbor's dog that's getting into your trash. I mean, you look out your window and the whole front yard is like getting tore up, and all those things that you neatly packed into that plastic bag are now out there for all to see. Right? You don't go out the door and go, "Oh, you're so cute," talking to the dog. "Oh, no, you use your outside voice." You use a tone. "Hey!" Right? And on the inside, we yell at our flesh.
Come on.
Right? We pull the leash back. I, the spirit man, the guy on the inside, the one that you can't see, the one that's been washed and made brand new in Christ, the one where God, that place where God lives, I keep my body under.
That's right.
And the renewing of the mind is necessary for us to do that, because we have to begin to see what is profitable from the Word of God. And so we allow our body to do this and to do that because it's profitable, according to the Word of God, but then we see some things that are unprofitable, and we what? Treat it like the next door neighbor's dog. Amen. So I do what? I present my body to God. Like Lonnie said, causing your body to be a good steward, right? We cause our body to be a good steward unto God, right? Now look at this, as this verse goes on. We present our body a living sacrifice. We allow it to become and to reflect the holiness that we already are. That's working out your salvation. Working out your salvation isn't trying to get right with God through good works. Working out is talking about who we are on the inside, and we work it out to our behavior. Working out our salvation, right? And so we walk out holiness because it is a reflection of who we've become on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So this behavior that our spirit man is reflecting through our body is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Right? So how do we walk it out? Verse 2, and this is what we've been talking about. It says to be not conformed to this world. Well, we already are by virtue of living in this world. We're already conformed to it. There's still a residue even now of worldly thinking. Right? Some worldly goals. It's almost like the bucket list, I want to do that before I die. Well, don't worry about it. You're never going to die. You're a spirit. You're not going to go to heaven and talk about your bucket list. Well, I jumped out of an airplane. It was on my bucket list. Everybody in heaven's going to go, so what? Right? Amen. And so here it says, not to be conformed, but be transformed. Now understand, our spirit man is all it's going to be. It's perfect. To me, and this is, maybe I shouldn't throw in my personal opinion, pastor can correct me after I leave, but to me, growing up spiritually is not growing up spiritually. I'm already perfect. How do you grow perfection? Growing up spiritually is allowing my spirit to have an expression in all that I do. I learn how to yield to that perfection that's on the inside of me. I learn to yield to the witness of the Holy Spirit. See, all that's in us has to come through that filter of our mind and activate our body. So the mind has to be renewed, right? To allow what's on the inside of us to be given expression to, right? I mean, didn't we just hear last night that we already know all things because we have an unction of the Holy Spirit?
Come on.
So when I say I don't know what to do, guess what? I'm lying.
That's right. Come on.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? That's what I'm doing. I'm lying. I'm denying what he said that I have, so I can't have what he provided for me. Right? So even when my mind doesn't know, and we're actually telling the truth, but it's pertaining to our mind, but we're not a mind.
Right.
So I try to catch myself, right? I'm renewing my mind, right? I'm renewing it. I know all things. I know all things. I know all things. So when I come to a decision I have to make and my mind doesn't know what to do, I just say, I know what to do by the person who lives in me. I know what to do by the person who lives in me. I know what to do. And at the same time I'm saying that, my mind is screaming at the top of his lungs. Treat it like the next door dog. You know, tell it to hush. Yes, I do. Yes, I do, right? Because I've been renewing my mind with the word. This is what he says I have.
Yes. That's right.
And so I agree with it, right?
Hallelujah.
And so I become renewed in the spirit of my mind. Hallelujah. So listen to this translation. We'll get on to the next point here. I want to read this from the Good News translation of this portion of Romans 12:2. Listen to it. Just close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes and think about these words. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God and what is good and pleasing to Him. And that which is perfect. See, we find the will of God in that process of mind renewal. Amen? So the first battleground that we embark upon is the battleground of our mind. And what we do is we renew it, so we begin thinking like God thinks. We start seeing things like God sees them. Right? And that puts us on a collision course. It puts us on a collision course to be in His perfect will. Right? Amen. Now, the second battlefield is to maintain unity in the church. This is a fun one. The church is a living organism. Right? It has a head. And it has a body. Because Jesus gave you gifts. And He expresses Himself through the gifts that He gave you. And works through them as the head. Anybody know who that is? your pastors, right? Pastor Mark, Pastor Rhonda. And so they're the heading, and that makes us the body. Everybody go. Amen? Right? We're the body. Now understand that the church, and when I say, don't think of the universal church, think of Cornerstone Word of Life, your church, the church that God sets you in. Because He sets in the body as it pleases Him, those members in particular. Yes. And you have a divine function in this body, and it's up to us to find that function and then bring that supply.
Yeah. That's good.
So all the, you know, the parts of the body are working.
Yeah.
If I had some balls, I would juggle them. Right? You don't want to just come here and be a hearer. You may start out like that, but as your mind is being washed and as you're being renewed and as you're walking out that which you see with a renewed mind, you'll find the perfect will of God. And you'll hook up and you'll start bringing your supply. Amen? So, this local body can only function at its fullest capacity through unity. That's why Jesus is the head through your pastors.
Yes. Amen.
They're not human beings. They are an office. I said they're an office. You don't respect them as much as a man and a woman as you do as an office that Jesus sent to you to benefit you and to work together as a body to fulfill the vision that He has for this church. Don't become too familiar with your pastor's humanity. I'm just throwing that in for free. It'll really help you. Because the more you see their humanity, the less you'll see the office. In this kingdom that you and I have been born into, it's not about human beings as much as it is of rank and file established in the offices and the functions that God placed in His church. Amen. So don't find out what their favorite food is. Don't find out the human things about them. Don't find out, you know, this and that. If you find out, that's great, but don't seek it. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're seeking after the wrong thing. You're seeking to pull out of them the anointing that's upon them that's, ooh, super. Hey. You're seeking the anointing that's on their gift. And the words that they speak, they don't originate with them. Their words don't originate with them. Now, if I told you that last night that Jesus knocked on my hotel room door and I opened up and there's Jesus standing, and I told you that Him and I sat in the hotel room and spent 30 minutes together, and then He just walked through the wall and left. Most people, if they would hear of that encounter, do you know what they would ask? What did He look like? What was He wearing? What color was His hair? Was He like the guy that does the butter commercials, you know? What? See, we're identifying with humanity. He's God! The question we should ask, what did He say? What did He say? What did she say?
That's good. Yeah.
Let that roll around inside of you and work it. Work it. How's that pertain to me? How's that pertain to me? How's that pertain to me? How do I apply that? What's my part in that?
Come on.
Unity. The earmark that identified the early church was unity. We see over here in Acts 2:1, it says that when the day of Pentecost was finally come, they were all with one accord. Another translation said that they were all together. Understand that they were all together with one divine purpose, with one divine pursuit, right? And in that place of oneness, that one place of unity, what happened? The Spirit was poured out. Listen to this one. It is tremendous. Acts 4:32. It says that now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. They are of one heart and one soul. They are of one heart and one soul, right? That's why we're contending for unity. That's why we're fighting against anything that divides. We're contending. This is a battlefield to contend for unity because the enemy does not want us to have unity. For 300 years, the early church was persecuted like nobody's business, and it thrived. Because outside persecution makes us join ourselves together in unity to resist. And then after 300 years, the devil came with a new strategy. I'll put me on the inside of the church. And the Roman Empire made the declaration that Christianity was the official religion of the nation. And then they began to govern it from the inside. And that's when everything changed, and that's when everything splintered. Right? So we have to keep that influence out. We keep it out by walking in love with one another and maintaining that unity. All right? I got to finish this verse, though. It says they were of one heart. This is what we're striving for. Don't ever think that we've arrived, right? Because then you'll back off. No, 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 no. We never stop contending. I never stop contending for the battlefield of my mind. I continue getting it washed with the Word of God and doing my best to walk in the light thereof, to give as much expression of my heart on the outside as I have on the inside. But we're also maintaining unity in this house, in this house, in this house. This is the house the Lord gave you. And He's going to work through this body and through this house. And so we're going to stay as one. And we're going to contend for that. And we're going to not be satisfied until He catches us up into the cloud, right? Amen. Now, it says that they were of what? One heart. And what else? One soul. Verse 33, tremendous. And with great power. Everybody say great power.
Great power.
Interesting, it just didn't say with power. Great power. On the heels of unity, right? One heart, one soul. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. Amen. To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that great grace was upon them. What was the great power for? To reach the world. What was the great grace for? To equip you, the body. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a shout. Hallelujah. Right? Great power to witness. Great grace to be equipped. Remember, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things like that. Amen? Glory. So unity is what we're striving for. Understand that we have to battle against division. And we certainly don't have, we don't want to be a part of it. And that's why we're talking about it, so we can recognize it, so we know what to stay away from.
Yes.
Go real quick to 2 Timothy 2:24. And you understand that we're not talking about this because, you know, this is a troubled church. Are you serious to think that? Don't renew your mind. We're talking about this because we're becoming aware of these things in case.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
Because much more is coming, as you know. Much more is coming.
Amen.
More people are coming. People from the outside are coming in.
Yes.
You've been well groomed, but others are coming that haven't got the training that you have now.
Amen.
And you're going to have to maintain unity as the body.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
I mean, they're going to start coming in off the streets. And their mind is going to be entangled with the ways of the world. They may be brand new on the inside, but they've got some work to do to get the mind to line up with what they have in their spirit.
Amen.
Right? So you'll have great increase, and so you're going to have a lot different folks to work with.
Yeah.
Amen. So look here in 2 Timothy 2:24. It says that the servant of the Lord must not what?
Strive.
Must not what?
Strive.
Strive. This word strive means to argue.
Come on.
Means to contend. It means to insist on your own ways. That felt really good. You want to do it again?
Yes.
That word to strive means to argue, to contend, to insist in his own way. That means no more sister sandpaper and brother know-it-all. We can laugh if we know a sister sandpaper, and we can cry if we're her, right? And if you're a brother know-it-all, hallelujah, I'm working on it. Amen. Right? That keeps us from splintering, right? That keeps things from being divided. I was going to read that from the AMP, but I think you got it, right? That's pretty good, right? The other area that causes division is being offended. Being offended. Now, this is an interesting word in the Greek, and we'll get to it here in just a moment. But over here in Matthew 26:31, Jesus told his disciples before his passion, he said that all of you will be offended. Now, who's speaking here? I said, who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Jesus is speaking, isn't he? And he's saying, all y'all, and I'm not sure if that was the 12, I don't know if that included the 70, but it was a lot of folks. And he says, you're all going to be offended. And they practically rebuked Jesus. Even Peter, you know, good old Peter, stood up and said, now I'll even die for you. I won't be offended. And we all know what happened, right? How could these hand-groomed, close disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, how could they be offended with all that they received from him after 3.5 years? We can only speculate. I'm assuming that they had expectations of what it meant to be one of the disciples. Remember, we even had the mother come to Jesus and say, well, I want my two boys to sit on your right and your left. So they had expectations that they were going to be exalted and they were going to have some powerful office. And here's Jesus just got, you know, hauled off to jail. And all of their expectations just begin to melt like wax. And it looked like all that they invested for 3.5 years was gone. And they were offended. And they all denied Jesus. In fact, this offense caused them to go back. They laid down the perfect will of God and went back to doing what they were doing. That's how powerful offense can be. Right? This word offense, in the Greek, actually the Greek word makes the English word scandalize. Isn't that interesting? It means to put a stumbling block in the way. Right? I'm in the perfect will of God, right? Start going the other way. There's a block there. It has that much influence on us. Do you know that that word that we get scandalized is found 17 times in the New Testament? I guess he wants us to get a clue, to be on the lookout, right? Because we're not ignorant. No. I said we're not ignorant. Amen. I said we're not ignorant, Amen. What? Of the devil's devices. Yes. So we're looking for it. First and foremost, I judge myself, make sure that I'm not stumbling, right? And then I look to see if anyone else is stumbling, to see if I can help to encourage and to lift them up. In the case of the disciples, accepting the offense was a stumbling block that moved them out of the perfect will of God. But here's the key. I said this is the key because there'll be times that our emotions and that place that God hasn't touched like he has touched our spirit, we will have some expectations that aren't fulfilled in the church, right? In our relationship with the Lord, seemingly. Remember, everything in the world is an illusion. It's subject to change, right? I said, right? Remember, we're living in a spiritual kingdom now, right? We don't look at things in the way of circumstances as being the final word, right? They're subject to change. That's why we have faith, right? We have that substance of faith to change what we see into that which he's provided for us, that which we believe. So what we do is what exactly the disciples did. They got offended. They laid down the perfect will of God. They went their way, but they allowed themselves to be restored. That's really the moral of the story. Because every one of us will be offended.
Yeah,
come on. Come on now, help me. Right? Every one of us. That's not the bad part. The bad part is getting recovered out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we maintain humility. We maintain being teachable. We maintain being submissive. And we treat our outer man as a next-door neighbor dog, and we drag it to where we're supposed to be and bring that supply and allow that restoration, that oil and wine to be poured in so that we're lifted up, right? And so I'll never forget this one example. Mary and I, we had just recently gotten saved. And we didn't know anything except that we loved Jesus. That's all we knew. And really, that's all you need to know. That'll get you to where you do know. Amen. And so we were going to this small frame church in Berthoud. It was a little AG church, and they had just brought a new pastor in, and he was Word of Faith, and it was just awesome, and things just started to pop. Psh, psh, psh. It was great. It was awesome. People were coming. We were growing. And then Sister Sandpaper, one of the blessed believers came to church one Sunday morning, and she brought her sister. And So they went into the nursery to put her sister's child in the nursery. And lo and behold, there was a dirty diaper in the trash can. Oh, the humanity. Oh, can you believe that? A loaded bomb in the trash can. It had already gone off. It was doing its thing in there. And this dear woman, bless her heart, she brought her sister there to get saved. Right? But she got offended over that dirty diaper. And she just stormed out of that church, taking her sister with her. Why? She got offended. Pulled her out of the will of God. I said it pulled her out of the will of God. Right? And so we got to be careful. And, you know, these offenses and these opportunities for division, I mean, they're all around us. I mean, sometimes it comes along while we're fellowshipping. Well, you know, I think Ted, he's the best praise and worship leader, but... Oh, but it started out with hallelujah, right? But that's a key word that we should be looking for.
Yeah, come on.
But means there's a whole lot of unbelief coming. There's a whole lot of what I feel is coming. There's a whole lot of what my opinion is coming, right? But don't be a but Christian. It's okay to say amen in church. B-U-T, Christian. Some of you went the other way. Right? Just stop with Ted's the best praise and worship leader. You know, Pastor Mark's awesome. Oh, woo! What? But that beard.
He's going to shave after these meetings.
I'm just not feeling the beard. Okay? It was so cute without it. Right? See, when you're in a conversation like that, smile real big and turn and leave.
Yeah. Come on.
Hey! Don't feed that spirit.
That's right. Come on.
That's good.
Come on.
Don't throw gas on that.
Amen.
Hey! That's our pastor.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he gave his life for us.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
What have you done? I don't say it that way, but you know what I'm saying. Remember, you are love. Come up with something good, all right? But don't begin to consider after what is said, after the but, don't start processing it. It's poison.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Right. It's a word from the enemy to divide. Hallelujah. Did you get it?
Yes.
So we must fight the good fight of faith, not to be offended, not to create strife, not to allow division. We will not have it. Right? Because we are maintaining unity. We are maintaining agreement. We're maintaining submission. We're maintaining that attitude of being teachable. So that we can have all that he has for us, so it can flow here to go out there.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. The third level, the third battleground, is to pray out the Lord's will to be done on the earth. Let me just say this. We do all three of these levels all the time. You have a prayer ministry. But let me say this. If you're going to be in this battleground to pray out the Lord's will in the earth, it is accomplished by you and everyone else joining yourself to the prayer ministry in the church. We're always looking to do this. Come under.
Yes.
I'm always looking to come under. I'm looking to come under. Don't fly the friendly skies of prayer without a pilot.
Come on. Amen. Preach on that.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good. That's good. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right? You need to use that prayer leader as a soundboard.
That's really good.
Wow, I'm getting this. And she'll go, stop eating pizza.
Come on.
Right?
Amen.
That's come under, right? So let me say this again, this third level, right? After we've washed our mind with the Word of God, as we maintain unity in the church, as we bring our supply to the prayer group, to the prayer team, look, you entering into this battleground is accomplished by joining yourself to the prayer ministry in your church.
Yes.
And under its instruction.
Yes.
And leadership.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Stand up. Please. See, that's that know-it-all tone. I'm working on it, all right? Work in progress. Hallelujah. All right, we're gonna put this into action, right? I want you to close your eyes. I want you to begin to decree and declare. Say, I am
a recreated
human spirit.
I've been born again.
I am love.
I am righteous.
I am holy. And I'm rich. I choose
to wash my mind.
To allow my mind to be renewed.
By the word of God.
I will keep myself before it.
I will hide the word in my heart.
That I'd not sin against the Lord. I will be renewed.
In the spirit of my mind,
putting on the mind of Christ to do the will of God on the earth.
My God,
the head of the church,
Jesus Christ,
set me in this church.
I said this church.
I said Cornerstone Word of Life.
And where he set me,
I'll not be moved.
I'll not entertain strife.
I'll not entertain division.
I will maintain
unity.
I will love.
Pastor's beard.
I'll not be offended.
Nothing will move me.
Nothing will move me.
Nothing will move me.
Nothing will move me.
And I'll bring my prayer supply.
And come in submission.
To the prayer leaders
in my church.
And I'll pray things
by the unction of the Holy Ghost
in the presence
of others.
And I'll bring my supply.
And we'll bring the rain.
And we'll pray out the will of God.
And it's going to be good.
And it's going to get gooder.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.